Content warning. This story contains descriptions of violence. Before he died, St. Albert Sr. Ron Wurzfold suffered a beating so violent it fractured his skull, but he bled to death from a killing stab wound to his left abdomen on July 7, 2017. 3 weeks into the first-degree murder trial of St. Albert resident Beryl Musila, 33, medical examiner Bernard Bannock described the unusual start to the autopsy he conducted on the victim the morning of July 11, 2017. The body was not in a body bag, as they normally come to the office, but the body was contained in Rubbermaid tote container with silver tape, he said. He opened the tote and removed a multicolored comforter and afghan, as well as a white towel. Beneath those, Wurzfold's nude body was bent at the waist in the 2-foot-by-4-foot container. The victim weighed 128 pounds, and was 5 feet 7 inches tall. There was no clothing on the body, Bannock said. The wrists were handcuffed together. The ankles were bound with silver tape, and the victim was wearing a wristwatch and a yellow metal chain, he said. Noting the autopsy photos were taken when the body was in a decompositional state, Bannock warned the jurors that as seen in the images, Wurzfold's body was not fresh. Reddening observed on the victim's back was due to postmortem lividity, where blood pooled after blood stopped circulating. The part of Wurzfold's naked back that was closest to the blue edge of the tub showed postmortem lividity, gravity from being on his back for between 6 to 12 hours following his death. He was on his back for a period of time that would allow lividity before he was put in the tote, Bannock said. There were a number of postmortem changes going on in the body, Bannock testified. The outer and middle layers of skin had begun to separate, and there were signs of blistering and skin slippage related to decomposition and bacterial action. He said it appeared post-mortem rigidity was minimally present to absent, and that it had occurred and was going away as decomposition advanced. Wurzfold had 3 lacerations from blunt force trauma, places where the scalp had split from the force of the blow. One of the blows to a spot near the back of the left ear fractured his skull. It's my opinion the blunt injuries occurred prior to death, he said. The bleeding suggests blood pressure, a beating heart. There was bleeding around all the wound tracks, so Wurzfold's heart was still beating at the time they were inflicted, he said. There were 3 stab wounds on Wurzfold's body, he said. One, on the right side of Wurzfold's neck, was about 1.6 centimeters in length. It missed major arteries, ending behind the right side of the thyroid cartilage or Adam's apple. Another stab wound on the front upper left chest, below the collarbone, went to a depth of 6 centimeters. It didn't penetrate the chest cavity, nor did it involve major blood vessels. The fatal stab wound was a thrust that went over 9 centimeters into Wurzfold's lower abdomen, to the left of the belly button. It punctured 2 loops of his lower bowel, then went through tissue to slice 60% through his left iliac artery, which runs from the aorta down into the left leg. That cut was a deadly bleeder, in an area of the body where, even if first aid were administered, it couldn't readily be applied, Bannock said. A person could survive minutes, or up to an hour, he said. In all 3 stab wounds, one end of the wound was sharp, the other blunt, the medical examiner said. This is important. The most common thing producing a wound like that is a single-edged knife, Bannock said. The photos showed the deceased had 2 black eyes. Defendant Musila, who is self-represented at her own trial after firing 6 attorneys in almost as many years, cross-examined Bannock on that point. My question is, could the black eyes we saw in the pictures be as a result of a fight between 2 individuals before the death? She asked. Bannock said they could have a black eye. Doesn't necessarily mean a direct blow to the eye socket, but it can, he said. Crown Prosecutor Patricia Hankinson asked Bannock if anything else could cause 2 black eyes. An impact higher up on the scalp would have resulted in blood tracking down to the eye sockets, he explained. A post-mortem abrasion was noted on the midline of the victim's lower back. It occurred post-mortem as there was no bleeding into it, because there had been no blood pressure. Instead, it was yellow-orange where a layer of fat showed through Wersfeld's skin. Banach noted signs that pointed to Wersfeld's age of 75, moderate blockage of the arteries or atherosclerosis, also, typically enlarged prostate. His lungs showed a moderate amount of black pigment that could occur from an occupation in carbon or coal, smoking or even city living. A toxicologist took samples of Wersfeld's blood, and is expected to testify to the results during the trial. Forensic specialist Christy Sanderson testified at length. Among her meletiple findings, she said using DNA samples taken from Wersfeld's body and from Musila under warrant, both the victim and the suspect were possible contributors to the DNA material taken from the silver duct tape used to bind Wersfeld's ankles. She concluded Robert Rafters and Tyler Fisher were not contributors to that mix. Amicus attorney Greg Warabek, appointed by the court not to defend Musila but to ensure that she receives a fair trial, cross-examined Sanderson, asking who makes the decision about which exhibits to test. The first point of contact is forensic intake in Ottawa, where the agency or investigator would fill out a C-414 form, providing a brief summary and a list of evidence. An ensuing conversation between the Forensic Assessment Center and the investigator would help determine. Not every swab could be tested, but in a larger investigation with multiple scenes and multiple exhibits, investigators would consider which evidence would be most probative, but the FAC ultimately makes the decision, Sanderson said. She said known samples were gathered from suspect Beryl Musila, with a warrant, and Musila's boyfriend of 4 months Robert Rafters, voluntarily, and Taylor Fisher, the subject of her brief encounter early on July 8, 2017, voluntarily. With the exception of those samples, and exhibits taken from the victim Ron Wersfeld, the remainder of exhibits tested for DNA came from the makeshift dumpsite crime scene. Sanderson testified to the extensive protocols used to safeguard testing and custody of DNA. DNA taken from blood-stained scissors, duct tape, and plastic bags matched the accused, with the odds of an unrelated random match measuring 1 in 2.4 quadrillion, with a quadrillion being a 1 followed by 18 zeros. Prosecutors allege that after visiting an Edmonton adult video store with Ron Wersfeld and bringing items for him to purchase on the evening of July 7, 2017, Musila drugged him, then beat and stabbed him to death. Fisher, a neighbor in the building at 75 Mission Avenue where Musila had lived with her two children, prior to moving her things into Wersfeld's guest room, testified that he first met her when she was crying in the parking lot in the wee hours of July 8, 2017, and that their brief encounter included alcohol, cocaine and sex. Jurors heard that Saturday, July 8, 2017, Musila had a number of visitors bringing her containers and totes for her belongings as she cleaned the apartment and moved her things out, including a large blue 2 feet by 4 feet blue Rubbermaid tote wrapped with duct tape. According to testimony, blocked from leaving in Wersfeld's car, she lugged the duct-taped blue tote down the stairs of the apartment and it was then loaded into a taxi van, along with other containers and a suitcase. Still on that Saturday, Musila and her things were transported to several places in St. Albert, Edmonton, Morinville and finally a party at a home at 51223 Range Road 264 in rural Parkland County, where the things were moved from the garage to a makeshift dumpsite on the property. With each transfer, Musila enlisted the help of others to relocate, and to hoist the heavy tote, jurors heard. On Sunday, July 9, 2017, one of the rural house party attendees called the police after a glimpse of the contents of the tote aroused his suspicion. At the beginning of the trial, Musila pleaded guilty to a charge of indecently interfering with Wersfeld's remains. She pleaded not guilty to the first-degree murder charge in connection with his death. The trial in Justice Larry Ackerell's Court of King's Bench is expected to last another 3 weeks.